This is Rabbi Haber. We're up to chapter 42 in Psalms, Perek Mem Beis in Tehillim, and it's the beginning of the second book of Tehillim. There are five books in Tehillim. It's the beginning of the second book, and it starts off with a surprise. Lam Natzeach, to the conductor, Masvikil, a thoughtful psalm, Livnei Korach, for the sons of Korach. So the first question we should have is, where does Korach come in? He wasn't exactly a hero in the Torah. But first, let's understand the authorship of this Tehillim, because this is going to come up a lot. So if you ask any child in the street, they'll tell you that David HaMelech, King David, wrote the Psalms. Yet, many of the Psalms are attributed to different people. This one seems to be attributed to the Bnei Korach, to the sons of Korach. Other ones are attributed to Asaph. Other ones are attributed to Moshe or to Adam. And Rashi himself says that there were 10 different authors of the Psalms. Yet, we like to think that all the Psalms were written by King David. Personally, in my mind, it's all poetry. So to say that a psalm reflected the thoughts of King David, and also reflected the thoughts of the sons of Korach, and also reflected the thoughts that we might be having in our days, and thoughts that our grandparents might have been having in their days, that's how poetry works. It's not a history book, it's poetry. So it doesn't bother me so much to have ambiguous authorship in the Psalms. But what we have here, in this particular mizmor for the sons of Korach, there are many different opinions. Some say that when the sons of Korach didn't die after the story of Korach fighting against Moshe, they went and they wrote these psalms down on parchment, and then the Rishonim actually say that David HaMelech, King David, adapted those exact psalms, put them into his kind of style for Tehillim, and then he wrote those. Another approach would be much simpler, that David HaMelech, King David, wrote these psalms for the descendants of Korach who lived in his day and who served in the Mishkan and later on would serve in the Beis HaMikdash. And then, of course, there's the opinion we mentioned before that these were actually written by the Bnei Korach, by the sons of Korach. And there's actually an Ibn Ezra who says it was written way after the times of King David. It was actually written in Babylon. Now, be that as it may, clearly has a relevance to Bnei Korach, to the sons of Korach, and let's understand that for a minute. Torah tells us that Korach was very upset at Moshe Rabbeinu. He didn't feel like Moshe should be the leader. He didn't feel like Aaron should be the leader. He rebelled against Moshe and against Aaron, and we know he was swallowed up into the ground together with his children. But the Torah itself tells us, Uvnei Korach lo mesu, the sons of Korach did not die. They jumped up out of that pit, and they were yelling, Moshe emes, Visaroso emes, Moshe is true, and his Torah is true. Not clear if they themselves got out of the pit, or if they left descendants behind who survived. But that's why we jump up on Simchas Torah, yelling, Moshe emes, Visaroso emes, Moshe is true, and his Torah is true, because ultimately it was clear to the sons of Korach, they did tshuva, if you will, they repented, and they said, you know what, Moshe is true, and Moshe is the leader. And Rav Aaron Cutler is mystified by these, by Korach and by the Bnei Korach, the sons of Korach, and the followers of Korach. And his question is that if you read Parshas Korach, you see that they were swallowed up into the ground. That was quite a miracle. But the people weren't convinced yet. And then they had a fire come out and consume 250 of Korach's followers. And they still weren't convinced. And then they took a staff and they put it next to the Aron HaKodesh, next to the Ark. They put 12 staffs next to the Ark to see which one would grow flowers to signify if Aron was the one who was supposed to be the Kohen Gadol. Aaron Cutler says, why didn't they give in? Just one miracle should be enough. It's one thing to rebel against Moshe, but they saw miracle after miracle after miracle. And Aaron Cutler says that people make a very big mistake about the Korach family. They think the Korach family was bad. They think the Korach family were evil, jealous people. He says, the Korach family wanted nothing closer, nothing more than to come closer to God. And he proves it. He says the Korach family were from the family of Kehos. The family of Kehos, their job was to carry the Ark. And there were not many people in the family of Kehos because they would carry the Ark and many of them would perish because they got too close to the Ark. And yet they kept on pushing closer and closer to the Ark. So this is a family that always wanted to be closer to the Ark, closer to the Luchos, closer to the Ten Commandments, closer to God, as it will, even though demographically they were losing numbers because they were coming closer, and it was that same midah, that same character trait that wanted to say, Aaron, can't be the Kohen Gadol, can't be the high priest. We want to do that. We want to go into the Holy of Holies. Moshe can't be the one to go to Mount Sinai. We want to be the ones doing that. Aaron Cutler said they made one mistake, and that is that they got some bad character traits involved too. A little bit of jealousy, a little bit of haughtiness. They should have taken a step back and said, you know what, we want, but we're not quite Moshe. We're not quite Aaron. And there's a reason why they do what they do and why we do what we do. And I think all that is reflected in this psalm. The psalm is a psalm of yearning. Kama ka'ayel taro alafike mayim, like the gazelle that yearns for water. A gazelle is an animal that lives in the desert, and it has tricks how to find water because there's not water in the desert. There's rain and flash floods sometimes, and he or she knows exactly how to find them and where to find them, where to find the low indentations in the earth where the water is going to gather and it doesn't last there for a long time. And just like that ayol goes and runs after the water, that's how the Bnei Korach were running after Hashem. It says, Tzomanashi lelakim lekel chai, my soul thirsts. We find this a few times in Tehillim, for Hashem, for the living God. Masay avay v'ayroa pnei lekim, when can I come close to God? Now, there are some sad parts to this psalm. It says that my tears were my bread day and night. It talks about memories that I have of amazing things that I had in the past. This is all echoed very often in the kinos and in the Eicha and different types of laments. So what we're saying is that we have here a group of people that yearn and yearn and yearn, and sometimes they mess up, and sometimes they even get swallowed up in the ground and burned in fires. But they yearn and yearn and yearn. That's what the Bnei Korach were all about. And you know what? In the end, they did tshuva. In the end, they were jumping up and down singing, Moshe is true and his Torah is true. And in the end, King David was writing songs for them to sing in the Beis HaMikdash, in the temple. And how did they do that? I think the secret is, Yom Yom Yitzav Hashem Chastoy Uvalayla Shiroi Imi. That Hashem gives me his kindness by day, and at night his song is with me. And the Gemara explains that Hashem's song is the Torah. And the Gemara goes so far as to say that if someone sings the song of Torah at night, which nobody knows about, they're just in their house singing the song of Torah at night, Chut Shel Chesed Moshuch Olav Bayoim, they have a certain grace about them the entire day. People might meet them. They could be a stockbroker. They could be a doctor. They could be a garbage man. They could be selling diamonds. Whatever they're doing, but people realize there's a certain chen to them. There's a certain grace to them. And that's because they learn Torah by day and it takes them into a certain type of person. And I think that's what happened with the Bnei Korach, the Korach family. Korach family loved Torah. They loved Hashem. They loved the Ark. They loved the Ten Commandments. They loved everything about it. They spent their time with it. They were yearning for it. They made some wrong turns here and there, but that yearning made it all come back. And eventually they were jumping back up. Korach himself not, but his children were jumping back up and saying, no, you know what? Moshe's true. His Torah's true. We want to be in the Beis HaMikdash. We want to be in the tabernacle. We want to be close to God. That's really all we were looking for. The rest of this was all distractions. And that's what David HaMelech, when he writes his first psalm about the sons of Korach, that's the feeling that he writes about. I remember once I met a fellow, sadly, in Virginia Beach. And he was a guy, and he starts to tell me that he had gone to some pretty special yeshivas and actually had done well in those yeshivas, but somehow he ended up hanging on to Virginia Beach all year, and not exactly what he had practiced for in yeshiva. And we used to see him once in a while, and he would come to shul every Yom Kippur. He would be in shul. He wouldn't talk a whole Yom Kippur. And we'd always talk after Yom Kippur. And one year I went over to him after Yom Kippur, and I wished him a good year. And he says to me, he says, I'm leaving. I said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to yeshiva. I said, you're going to yeshiva? You've been here for years, whatever it was, 2 years, 3 years. Clearly had taken some missteps and wrong turns in life. And he looks at me and he says, you can't spend so many years in yeshiva learning Torah and then spend your life on the beach. He just couldn't do it. He could do it for a month, a year, 2 years, 3 years. But at the end of the day, that Torah was in him and it made him yearn for something better, something greater. And he obviously didn't stay in yeshiva forever, but he got back closer to Hashem than he went about his life for the person that's connected to Hashem. And that's what we need to think about. When we think about Korach, we all think about the story of Korach rebelling, getting swallowed up in the earth. But we also need to think about the next chapter, the B'nai Korach, the sons of Korach, that kept their father's yearning and kept their father's love of Torah and love of God and love of everything close to God, and said this psalm of Tzomalucha Nafshi, that Hashem, my soul just thirsts for you, and there's nothing I want more than to come close to God. Be well.